Hey, I'm Bryson, and this is Emily, if we haven't met.
Hey, guys.
We are the location pastors here. We're going to do something a little different today, and I'm really excited about it. We're both really excited about it because we're going to pretend like we're in our living room. So we're going to have more of a conversation. I think about 9 of you could fit in our living room. So we decided to do it here instead of in our living room. But we want to have a conversation around Sabbath. And we want to have a conversation about what the heck does that mean for my life? Like, because you're going to work this week. You're changing diapers this week. You're sitting in carpool this week. But for us, the idea of Sabbath is God's idea. And we want to talk a little bit about that. First, I just want to, if we haven't met, I want to give you guys a little heads up about me and Emily. We've been married for 15 years. We met, yeah, we're excited about that.
We're doing good, guys. We're doing good.
We're doing good. We met when we were 18 years old. And we dated all through college. College days were good days for us. We got married 2 weeks after we graduated from college. And we moved to Atlanta. And Emily started working for Passion. Emily has worked for Passion for 15 years. Some of you guys don't even know that Passion has existed. Passion City Church wasn't even a blip on the radar, wasn't even a thought at that time. Emily worked on the conference team. And so around here, I've been a pastor here for 7 years. And so around here, I'm just known as Emily's husband, which is an awesome thing to be known about. She's like the veteran.
That's only partly true.
Yeah, it's awesome. I love it. And we're going to try to interrupt each other like that because we do that at home in our living room. So we're going to try to do that at church. Like seriously, we talked about it.
Might see the real me come out.
Yeah. Come out feisty. We have 4 kids. We have a picture of them. Nash, Evan, Meyer, and Wren. This is a picture from vacation this summer from us. And 4th grade, 3rd grade, 1st grade, kindergarten. And we love them. They're amazing kids. They're always that happy, too. Yeah. It's like, we'll give you whatever you want. Just smile for the picture.
Hey, babe, you said she's in kindergarten. She's only 3.
Oh, she's 3. Sorry. Thank you.
Wren is 3.
Correcting me. We have a 4th grader.
This is going to be so fun, guys.
This is. We have a 4th grader, a 3rd grader, a 1st grader, and a 3-year-old.
That's correct.
Who wishes she was in kindergarten. How about that? Hey, so our lives, the reason we're sitting on the stage is because of the spiritual impact that Louis and Shelley Giglio have made in our lives. There are pastors. There is no single couple in our lives that have demonstrated to us what it means to walk in faith and what it means to walk in Jesus' way. And Louis and Shelley, this is just for a minute, they're not here, but they're not perfect, okay? They're not perfect people, but what they are is they're godly people. And Emily and I, they have shaped our lives. And it's the reason we're standing here today, the reason we're sitting here today is because of them. And we're in their wake as our leaders and pastors. And so this idea of Sabbath is really, Emily's going to unpack it biblically for us in a minute. But it really is this idea that we're going to stop, rest, and remember. And at Passion City Church, when we started it, Louis was 50 years old when he decided to start his first church, when he decided to pastor his first church, which is kind of a crazy idea. And the one thing that he really wanted to make sure we were all in sync with was that God's the one building this church, not us.
Yeah.
And we live in a very like, hey, let's do it. Let's make sure it happens. Let's strive. Let's work hard, which are all great things. But we live in a culture where we're constantly, you know, trying to make stuff happen, whether it's business or family or work. And that's totally fine. But we know the scripture says, unless the Lord builds the house, its builders labor in vain. And we wanted God to build this house. And the cool thing is we are the builders, all of us. Door holders, like Dana was just talking about, we're the builders. God chose us. God asked us. God's invited us into the story, but it's his house and he's building it. He's just invited us into the story. And the same thing's true in your life, whether it's your family, your relationships. God's actually in control of it all. Okay? God's in control of it all. But you play a role in it, and he invites you to play a role in it. And so this is just a chance. This is the busiest time for church growth. August and January are like crazy times. We just came off the biggest Sunday. We have all this momentum, and what are we going to do? We're going to stop. Mm-hmm. Like, that makes zero sense. But sometimes the things in the kingdom of God don't always make the most sense. Yeah. When we think through them, his eyes versus our ways. And yeah. So we've been doing this from day one at Passion City Church, and we're going to continue to do this. Mm-hmm. And it's a huge part, a rhythm of it. And at its core, it's about trust and confidence.
Yeah.
It's about that we're going to put our trust and our confidence, and we're talking church, and it's going to get personal here in a minute. We're putting our trust and our confidence on him and in him and not in ourselves.
Yeah. That word Sabbath is kind of a churchy word. So if you grew up in church, you might be have an idea of what Sabbath means, or maybe you're completely new to this Jesus church thing and you're like, gosh, that sounds so boring. Sabbath, do you just sit and be quiet? Like, is that what you do on Sabbath? Or maybe you think it's an invitation to pop a cold one and put your feet up, a soda that is, and just put your feet up and relax. But at its core, it is, it's God's idea. And Sabbath, quite simply, when you boil it down, simply means rest. And we get our very first glimpse of this idea of godly rest at the very cusp of creation, in the very first pages of Scripture. The creation story begins to unfold, and God, in 6 days, crafts all that we see and all that we know. And then right in Genesis 2, we have a passage that I want to read to you. It says this, it says, "The heavens and the earth were completed in all their vast array. By the seventh day, God had finished the work he had been doing. So on that seventh day, he rested from his work. And then God blessed the seventh day. He made it holy because on it he rested from all the work of creating that he had done." So we have God. He breathes into existence space, and then he fills the space. Day one, day two, day three, he's crafting all the trees, all the animals, all the things that we know and all the things that we see, and it's perfection. And the pinnacle of all of his creation is day six, and he crafts man and he crafts woman. He breathes life into their lungs. And it's like the start of this whole story is unfolding. And in this moment, it should be the curtains are going to spring wide open and the story is going to start. But instead, God does something drastic and he pauses right there. Why? I think most of my life I had this wrong. I think I assumed God was tired. God did not rest because he was tired. See, our God does not sleep. Our God does not slumber. One of the defining factors of the God that we serve, the God of the universe, is that he does not and will not and cannot grow weary. So God didn't pause because he was tired. God paused and rested because he was satisfied. It was perfect. He was satisfied in what he had created, and he was satisfied in himself. And this is huge for us as we step into Sabbath and as we understand what it means to find Sabbath holy rest, is that for us, this rest that we're after is a satisfaction in God. It's when our hearts and our souls can say that we are satisfied. That's what Sabbath is.
Which is crazy because we live in a culture that's never satisfied, right? Mm-hmm. Like, I mean, like, it's hard for me to remember, like, the last time I was, like, fully satisfied. Mm-hmm. Yet God's trying to model us for us, like, on our day one, his day forever, mm-hmm. that he was satisfied. So I'm still dealing with that. But continue.
Okay, thank you. You're really going to interrupt me. I was, like, getting into that.
I know,
that was
but you make it sound so easy.
No, it's true, because we are. We're like a do. That's our culture. That the air that we breathe is nervousness, anxiety, stress. And God's saying, no, the air I want you to breathe is be satisfied in me and trust me. Mm-hmm. That's what I want you to do. That's what I want it to be.
Yeah, true.
And what's beautiful is that even in our do, he's saying stop, that there is holiness in that, and there is blessing in that. And so there's a promise in this Sabbath. It's a gift that God is giving us. It's not something he's trying to take away from us. He's not trying to take away from your bottom line if you own a business and you need to take a pause. He's saying, no, I want more for you. And so this more is going to come when you stop and you trust me. And then there's going to be blessing that flows out of that. I love Pastor Louis says that Sabbath is the gap between how great you are, because you are great, you're amazing and you're beautiful and you've been made to have a specific purpose and calling. And so Sabbath is the gap between how great you are and how much greater God is. It's the gap between how much you have done and how much there's left to be done. It's the picture that I get when I think about Sabbath. It's the hands off the wheel moment. It's you're driving the car and you just take the hands off and you say, God, you have this. It's like in Disney World. Have you ever been to Disney and done that little like racetrack ride where you're in those little tiny cars and you put your four-year-old in them and you're like, good luck, go. But what's cool about it is, you know, they're on a track. They've got leeway, and they have an accelerator that can make them go fast and a brake to make them go slow. But they're on a track, and that's what Sabbath is. That's what it's saying, God, I trust you. I'm going to take my hands off the wheel. I'm going to pull the brake a little and slow down, but I know that you have me, and you're taking me somewhere, and so I can trust, and I can rest in that. And it's sure. not time off. And Sabbath, it's not time off. It's time up is what we like to say.
Yep.
And so it's Sabbath isn't vacation. We're not expecting everybody in this room to go on a vacation this week. You might go on a vacation. Vacationing can be part of Sabbath, but Sabbath is not vacation. You might go up
not to... Not with four small kids. It's not.
Right. You might decide to go up to Helen and shoot the hooch, or
yeah,
you might go down to 30A and put your feet in the sand. That's great. That's all part of it, but that's not soul rest. Mm-hmm. That's vacation. So you can vacation when you Sabbath, but Sabbath at the core is a heart posture.
Yep.
It's coming down low and saying, God, I trust you. My heart is positioned in a place where I say that it's all yours anyways, and my hands are wide open yep. to trust you. So that's what
So Sabbath just for is. The next few minutes, we want to talk about like how to do this, because we think that this isn't something you do once a year. Mm-hmm. It's actually built into the fabric of our daily lives. So you can be thinking about this idea daily, weekly, annual, but it's really an idea. It's a God idea, as Emily's unpacked. And so for us, the first word that we need to think about is stop. Because we live in this culture that's go, 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 go. But we've said that a lot of times in the kingdom of God, things don't work the same way. They kind of work backwards. They kind of work inverted in the kingdom of God. And so for us, the first word is stop. And so Emily shared Genesis 2 on the seventh day God rested. But if you look back just a couple verses at the end of Genesis 1, it says this, Genesis 1:31. It said, God saw all that he made, and it was very good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the sixth day. All right, so just so we're on the same page. The last thing he did was create mankind, Adam and Eve, and then he rested. So for him, it was his day seven. That was the part that Emily just read. But for Adam and Eve, for mankind, it was their day one. So the first day that Adam and Eve, the first day that mankind was on the earth, they did nothing. I would have been so annoyed, because I'm a doer, you know? I'm like, think about it. They were perfect, they were fresh, they were obviously fresh, they just had literally the breath of God. Like, they were ready to go. They were probably like young, well, they were naked, that's another sermon. I mean, there was the endless possibilities of what to do on their first day on earth, on a perfect earth. And the way that God set it up was he set it up for day one, we're gonna stop. We haven't even started yet. That's a good thing for me to remember, because this is the way that God created, like this is his creation. And in that verse, the thing, you can put it back up for a minute, it says, and there was evening and there was morning. So in our world, this is backwards. In our world, we start in the morning and then there's evening. But God's way is he starts with the evening and then the morning. That's crazy. So the way that our bodies were designed is that our day starts at night. What do first? We sleep. So we sleep first and then we go. We don't think about it that way because we live in this in a different world, but that's the way God created things. That's the way God's world works. And so day begins with night. We cease and we stop before we go. So God created, this is mind-blowing for me because I'm such a doer and a goer and I want to get stuff done, is that God intended us to stop before we start. And so what happens if just on a daily basis, we looked at the way that God created us and that God created the world and we said, hey, before we go, before we start, we're gonna stop. And so that might shift the way we see the word Sabbath. For our family, we tried our stop day is Saturday. And so we try to stop. Okay, my son has football practice on Saturday. We still have laundry and we still eat on Saturday. We still have to make our beds on Saturday. But I think like Emily's saying, stop is like a posture thing. Stop is like, we're not going to produce today. We're not going to strive today. We're not going to hustle today. We are going to live today. And we're going to try to stop before we start. So Saturday for us is the beginning of our week. You ever live one of those moments? Like, I'm living for the weekend. I'm living for Saturday. For us, Saturday is the beginning of the week. Because before we start into Sunday, which is a pretty big deal in our family, Sunday's a pretty go day for us. Before we start our week, we always stop first. So it's just something that we try to do with our family. So we realize that all the family stuff doesn't stop. So Sabbath rest is another way to think it, is how we begin each season. So we're about to enter a new season for church and family this fall for us. So why do we Sabbath at this crazy time of the year? Because before we go, we want to stop. The other way that I think about this, and I'm not going to try not to preach here for a minute, but we are a very gospel church around here. We like believe in the good news of Jesus Christ and that the whole city needs to hear it. Yeah. Everyone needs to hear it, and that we have something that we want to share with people, and we're ready to share the gospel with people in a real and relevant and helpful way. And the gospel starts with two letters, the two letters I like. G-O, let's go. You know what I'm talking about? Like, let's go. So at Passion City Church, we are going to go, but before we go, we stop. So stop is the action, rest is the rhythm.
Yeah.
All right, so we have to stop before you can rest. And I need to remind myself a lot, Bryson, stop, Bryson, stop, Bryson, stop.
Yeah, stop's the action, rest is the rhythm.
Yep, for sure.
And if I can be really vulnerable, I was, when Louis asked us to teach on this, it's hitting us at a season where, honestly, like rest, it's, I don't know how to say it. We're in a really hard season in our home. We're dealing with some stuff in our home with some of our children. And so I think this is honestly probably the most weary season we've ever walked through in life. And so I know that there's people in here that are weary, and the idea of Sabbath rest is you're desperate for it. So I just want to speak from that place of I know what that feels like because we're standing in it right now. But I also want to say that it's possible to have Sabbath rest regardless of what your circumstances are. So it doesn't matter what you're facing right now or what storm you're facing or what you're carrying. Sabbath is our confidence in God. Mm-hmm. And you can have peace and rest no matter what. Mm-hmm. I'm looking over here at a friend that their house got broken into this weekend. And they can have Sabbath rest even in this moment of uncertainty and fear and all that they're carrying. And I love that... In Exodus 34:21, it says that even during the plowing seasons or the harvest, you must rest. Even during the plowing seasons or the harvest, you must rest. So even in the busy or the broken, even in when you have much or when your hands are to the plow and you are just pressing through, you must rest. That's the command. You must rest. And I think it's fascinating. We talked about this week that we're actually hardwired for rest. When God created us, he actually built that into us. Think about all of creation, in fact. Think about a tree. A tree is hardwired for rest. Fall comes and a tree rests. It drops its leaves and it prepares for the next cycle of growth. Same for us, we have to sleep. I did a little research and found that the longest anybody has ever stayed up is 18 days. I know, right?
It was
21 hours.
It was a frat party. No, I'm just kidding.
And 40 minutes. That's how long somebody in the Guinness Book of World Records has stayed up for 18 days without sleeping.
That's great.
But even that person eventually, at that 40-minute mark, they crashed and they had to sleep. And so Sabbath isn't the physical rest we need. It's not the have-to rest. I like to think of it as the I choose to rest. So they're different. It's a different kind of rest. It's me laying down myself and saying, I'm going to choose to rest. And we get a beautiful picture of this, obviously, in the life of Jesus.
Yep.
So all through the Gospels, we see the story of Jesus unfold. Perfectly human, perfectly God, come to earth to save us and to make a way for us to the Father. He came, 33 years is all he had on earth, 33 years. Many of us are far past that already. 33 years. The first 30, not much happened. Those last 3 years of Jesus' life, we see that he practiced and prioritized rest. I was reading through Mark, and I counted, I stopped counting at about 23 times that Jesus pulled away to be with the Father. And it's this idea of what John 15 says of abide in me and I'll abide in you. That's where you get soul rest, when that you put yourself and allow God to care for you. You put yourself in his hands and you abide in him and he abides in you. That's where you get that rest. And Jesus did that so well in his time on earth.
He did. And so when you stop, you have to stop to rest. It's hard to rest while you're on the go. I like to do a lot of things at once. So like I'm guilty of like texting and driving and like writing this talk all at the same time, you know, sitting in rush hour traffic. But you have to stop in order to rest. You can rest, like you're saying, in the go of like maybe more of a mundane life, because rest is a choice. But as we rest, one of the things that we want to do that God teaches us to do is to remember. Because you can stop and rest, and if you don't remember, you probably are still going to be prone to high stress. Mm-hmm. Because when we stop remembering, we start stressing. Mm-hmm. Okay, just think about it for a moment. So if something tough happened this week, if you got a diagnosis, if you got a phone call from a family member on the other side of the country, something's going on with your kids in your home life, and that stress just starts percolating up, one of the best ways to combat that is by remembering the faithfulness and the goodness of God. And say, okay, I am alive. I am breathing. I do have a roof over my head. God did bring us out of that last storm. You remember 4 years ago when that thing was happening? And look, we didn't think we'd be standing here, and now we're standing here. So this art, if you will, of remembering, I am the worst rememberer. So the fact that I'm sitting on this chair talking about remembering, can you testify?
Testify.
Okay. Okay, I'm good at like remembering the kids when it's like, hey, mom, dad, fill out this permission slip for school. I can do that. I just like to think about the future, like when I'm talking about like, hey, where are we going? What are we doing? I always want to think about the future. I don't want to think about the past. Like I get bored with it. I don't know. But I do know this, that our remembering is crucial to following Jesus. And we see this all throughout scripture, but for us, Emily alluded to it earlier, but like God doesn't sleep. And when I remember, okay, God doesn't sleep. Okay. So that means I can rest, because when I rest, he works. Mm-hmm. That's good. That helps me. I'm reminding myself, okay, I'm resting. Mm-hmm. He's still working, right? Yeah. I'm sleeping. He's still working. So just throwing a few of those in my life really helps. One of the conversations we were having this weekend was this idea about God's faithfulness and remembering God's faithfulness. And the way that God designed it is that remembering is our fuel for the future. So when you think about the future, the best way to think about the future is to remember the past. To remember God's goodness and grace and mercy and provision in your life. And so we're going to remember, and that remembering is going to be the engine that drives us forward. Mm-hmm. Not remembering our amazingness, but remembering his goodness and his faithfulness in our life.
One of my favorite stories in scripture around that very idea is in Joshua 4. So you've got the Israelite people, and they've been traveling through the desert for 40 years. The whole generation has passed, right? And now Joshua is getting ready to take the people finally into the promised land, and they reach the Jordan River, and a miracle happens. Do you guys remember this? The miracle is that God splits open the Jordan and lets them cross over the Jordan on dry land, just like in the generation past, he let them walk across the Red Sea. But what's beautiful about this is God knew that these people would forget, and God knows that we are forgetful people. And so after Joshua leads the people, the Israelites, across the Jordan into the promised land, what they've been waiting for all this time, God says, before you go any further, I want you to send back some of your leaders, a leader from every tribe, go back into that dry land, because he's still holding back the river. And he tells the people, I want you to pick up a stone from the riverbed, and I want you to put it on your shoulder, and I want you to carry that and pile it up in the center of the camp, so that your children and your children's children can look upon that pile of rocks and what? Remember the faithfulness of God. He knew that they were about to walk into more battles. He knew that they were about to forget again. He knew that they were gonna march around Jericho and they were gonna have to remember that God is faithful. He has been and he always will be. And I love that for our life because I am a rememberer.
Yes, you're a great rememberer.
I'm a good rememberer.
You're so godly.
Thank you.
Just like Louie and Shelley. She's just like Louie and Shelley. She's godly.
I love it because God knows that we need to remember. And so I think about you and me, and I think about the leaders of your family. So mom and dad and grandparents, this is for you. Some of you need to reach back into the miracle that you saw
yes.
and pull out a stone and put that as a marker in your home.
Yeah.
Maybe that's writing it down in a list that is on your refrigerator, and you just add to that list when you think about God's faithfulness. Yeah. And so your children will see, I don't understand all that thing about the financial thing that's on that list, but that was a big deal for mom and dad. Yep. And I know that God comes through and God is faithful. Yep. And that's a really simple thing that you can take away this week. And you're gonna need it because people, we are gonna face battles and we are gonna face storms. And yep. you and I are gonna have to remember.
That's right.
We're gonna have to remember that God is faithful. So that will fuel our future faith.
That's great. That's awesome. Good. Go, girl. I love it. So we're just going to wrap up here with a few practical things. And I don't know for you, I don't think this is a try to do all five of these this week. Emily started with the first one of writing a list. But I think it's important for us as we try to, like any habit or like anything we're trying to grow in, we want to just give you a few ideas and let God speak to you and then start running with it. This is a great time to start a practice. This is a great time to implement one of these in. And don't let it be overwhelming, but just ask God and say, "How God, how do you want to help me with that?" Maybe the list is step one. We could all start a list today.
Yeah.
Put it somewhere. Have your personal Ebenezer list. For us, one of the things that we do as a family is around our dinner table. You know, our house is pretty chaotic all times, but at dinner, it's like the end of the day and things are just wild and crazy. But we try to stop and have dinner together. We're in a tough season right now with my son's football. He has practice multiple days a week, and it's like he eats by himself. But we are trying this, so we don't do it every day. But when we do eat, the six of us sit at the table and eat. We try to just simply, the first thing we do is I ask all the kids, I say, "Hey, what's one thing that you're grateful for today? What's one thing that's awesome that happened today?" And so they go around the table and they share it. Some of them are reluctant, and we make them anyways. And then they hear us share, right? They hear us share, and they're like, "Wow, that was good," you know. And then one of them says the same thing all the time, just like the food, Mimi and Pop Pop, the dog. You know, it's like, okay, we don't have a dog. Mimi and Pop Pop have a dog. Okay, but it's simple like that, right? Because what we're trying to sow into our family is we're stopping, and in our stop time, we're just trying to remember the goodness and the grace of God in our lives. And we're trying to literally come out of their mouths so that they would build the habit and of that their entire life, they would look back on their day or look back on their year, or look back on a season and remember that God's good and and he's a good father.
Another one is getting away, and I know everybody can't do that in different seasons, and maybe it doesn't happen in these next 2 weeks, but maybe you put something on the calendar, and you call it a Sabbath, and you say, "We're going to get away together, and we're going to be very intentional with our time as a family." Maybe that's just a day trip somewhere or an extended period of time. Maybe you're a college student, and you think you're so busy. Can I just say, you've got a lot of time? And
we love college students.
This could be a moment where, like Jesus, you just decide to prioritize. Mm-hmm. I'm going to carve out space every single week to just be, still and to know God every week. And so that's an idea as well.
I think for us and for me, I'll speak for myself, is when I do that, I always fill it with something else.
Yeah.
You know, I'm like, "Oh, this is a perfect time to get my to-do list done," you know, or to do that project that I've been wanting to do or needing to do, or that thing I told a friend I was going to do. And so for us, it's the, okay, I'm going to stop and rest and not work in this little zone, whether it's a half a day or an hour or a lunch break where I'm just by myself and pulling away, not to fill it. But on the flip side of that, I think another thing that you could do is just pick something you enjoy and just enjoy it. God loves it when we enjoy him, when we enjoy creation, when we enjoy a hobby. That is a way to Sabbath, okay? You do not have to go to a monastery to Sabbath. You can go to a monastery to Sabbath, but you don't have to. You can Sabbath doing something that makes you come alive, because in your aliveness, you will remember the goodness and the grace of God. And so I just would, that's another thing. So maybe it's a pull away, but it's maybe you put something on your calendar like, I'm going to do this and I'm going to enjoy it. And for a single mom, that's going to be really, really tough. But I'm believing that God, if you say, God, I want this zone to be able to do this, that God will make a way for you. He will make a way to be able to say for this zone. And when you're in that moment, you're doing the thing that you love, you're going to be like, God is so good to me.
Yeah.
He's so gracious to me.
Yeah.
And you're practicing the rhythm of Sabbath.
Yeah. I like what you said, just about wrestling with the silence too. We're not good at sitting in silence. We're not good at sitting by ourselves with our Bible open. But do that. Sit with the Bible open and learn to feed yourself. Don't just listen to another podcast, but I promise you, if you open this Word of God and ask God, will you speak to me through your Word? He will.
Yeah.
He will. And so put that into practice. Open your Word. Pray. Communicate. Be in a relationship with God. That's all part of Sabbathing. And maybe some of you, it could be fasting. Maybe for a day or an extended period of time of just replacing the physical for the spiritual. It's powerful when you do that. And that's a practice and a habit.
Yeah.
That can bring you closer to
one
God.
One of the things I want to make sure that we said was a lot of Sabbath is like turning down the world and turning up like the presence and the attention towards God. And so again, it's unsustainable to do that 24/7 all week, but there's moments where we can Sabbath. And when we do that, we'll find that that actually gives us life. But we first have to stop. Then as we're stopping, which is my hardest part, just personally, then we're going to rest, and then we're going to remember.
Yeah.